This is a fairly short lesson, but I want to tell you something. If you've never been here before, or if you've been here in the previous series, this is going to be something to tack on, to talk about something a little further that we've talked about for weeks, but it can stand on its own. And in the world that we live in today, and the mentality especially in the United States of America, there could not be a more important message, I think, sometimes for us to hear, to really help us get our heart in check to where we are with God. So I ask you to really focus in, really apply this to your heart. Don't think about anybody else. Think about what I'm getting ready to tell you and apply it to your relationship to Christ right now. Because people, in so many ways, we've been deceived and led down the wrong road by Satan. And since all of us are just shoulder to shoulder while we're believing the lie, we don't realize how deceived we are. And hopefully it's going to be a little light come to bear on some of Satan's lies in the next few minutes. So listen in close if you would. Heavenly Father, I just ask you to bless your word. Bring it out in an awesome way. Let this first just be a gift of worship to you. Let everything be for your glory. Help us understand. Help us to understand and praise and worship you through the understanding of your word. Amen. All right, we're going to go back so far in time that we can truly say the characters of this story are older than sin. Come on, you got to give me something today, guys. If you're here, say amen. If you're here, say amen.
Amen.
Woo! Can I get a woo-hoo? Woo! Okay, all right, let's wake up. It's Christmas. All right, here we go. Genesis, we're going to start out with one of the oldest stories in the book that you've heard many times, but it's probably going to be applied to you in ways you've never heard. Okay? So, and I cannot teach a sermon if you don't get more lively than that. So if I got to get out here and break dance with Jay, we'll do it. But, all right, here we go. Genesis 3:1. Now, the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, now listen to this closely. Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit trees of the garden, but of the fruit tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that in that day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened. Now, honestly, how many of you have ever read this and thought, that is the silliest, senseless story? Why would not eating a piece of fruit be so important to God? And then, when you really think back, you think, if all I didn't have to do the rest of my life, if the only thing that would be called a sin would be to eat a piece of fruit, how hard would it be not to eat the piece of fruit? And you did it. And you got, this is a crazy story in and of itself. But if you really understand scriptures and you really read through and you see the depth of God's wisdom in this story, there's an amazing story and a lot of reason, a lot of hidden truth behind the story. And I'm going to tell you this, what Satan did there, listen to me, what Satan did in the garden in Genesis 3 with that silly little story that we're getting ready to break down, what he did there holds such an incredible, powerful secret of how he works that I will tell you this, I will guarantee 100% every person in here has fallen for the same thing that he did to Eve in exactly the same way. So you can look back and think that was weird or that was dumb or that was a silly story. But after we finish digging in, there's not a person in here that is not going to find out that you have fallen to the exact same thing, the exact same lie, and you may right now, this minute, be believing the lie that Satan gave to Eve. And you'll see what I mean in a minute. And I didn't plan this, but I'm going to tell you in the past week since I had started on this lesson already, there has been 4 deaths in this congregation, and unknown troubles and problems that I just can't even bring out. And everything we're getting ready to talk about is going to bring right to bear on that. So maybe the message was very timely to come to us when it has. Almost every time somebody chooses to walk away from God, have you ever known anybody just decide to walk away from God? They've had enough. They used to go to church. They used to love God. They used to be on fire. And one day they just woke up and they're like, I'm done. Almost every time somebody walks away from God or gives up on God or gets really angry at God, it's because they fall for this one trick that Satan has. It's like if you learn a wrestling move that's going to work every time and they just don't have any way around it, why are you going to stop using it? And Satan has found something that he can use on us, and buddy, we just fall. And let me tell you why before we get into this. We are the most sensitive, screaming Mimi, crying, you owe me, I'm pitiful generation that has ever lived. We just live as a victim, wanting someone to hear our story of how pitiful we are. And I'm not just talking about people you read about in the media. I'm talking about every one of us. It's just the way we have learned to be. And it's one of the reasons it makes us so susceptible to what Satan does here. And you're going to see it. You're going to see it in yourself. I see it in myself. Sorry to say. But we just, if we want to heal, we got to find out what we got as a disease. If we want plastic surgery, we just got to realize we're ugly. And as far as what I'm getting ready to talk about today, we need some surgery. So listen in. Here's the deal. This is the beginning of the lie. It's this simple. You know God is not giving you all you deserve. You know you deserve more. You know you deserve better than that. God's holding out on you. And God's treating you unfairly. Now I'm going to replay the moment. You let that sink into your head for a minute because you're going to say, oh, no, I don't think that way. But we'll get to it. Think about those two things. I deserve better than this, God. You ever said that? You ever felt that, even though you were scared to say it? I don't deserve this. God, you're being unfair. If I told you to raise your hand right now that you've ever felt that way and you didn't raise your hand, then I would tell you you're lying. Let's go back and replay a very short section out of Genesis 3 and see what it's really saying. Genesis 3, 1 again. And he, the serpent, said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Let me tell you what he's saying there. Has God really told you that is what's best for you? Really? Here's what's happening. Now get with me. We're going to bring this home to where it really applies to us. Satan is causing Eve, listen, to doubt the logic and the motive behind what God has told them to do. Now, as though God was being selfish and that he has his own selfish agenda and what he's telling us to do in his selfishness is just doesn't even make logical sense. Why would God tell you to do that? Why would God let that happen? It doesn't make sense. He's being selfish. He's not even thinking about me. Let's think of some times you and I hear the exact same ploy. We hear the exact same lie whispered in our ear. Now, pay attention to this and tell me that you haven't heard these things whispered in your ear. Does God really say you should ignore your natural sexual tendencies of attraction to other people? Does God really tell you that? That's not the truth. That's ridiculous. That's not fair to you. You ever felt that way? I've had Christians come and tell me that. Pornography's okay. It's just natural. God wouldn't tell me to disregard my natural affection for the opposite sex. Two, does God really say you should let someone get away with treating you that unfairly and still forgive them again? Have you ever felt really, really, really like, God, what? Right. God, you'd never expect me to go through this again and forgive them. That's not fair. Did God really tell you that? Does God really say you should make yourself miserable by living with someone that's so much less attractive, so much less kind, so much less holy than you are? Does Does God really say I should stay here in this relationship and make myself miserable? Wouldn't God be happy for me to go off somewhere else and enjoy life? That's not fair. Would God say that? It's quiet in here. Does God think it's fair that you lost your loved one, even though they and you tried to be a better person than many of those around us that are having great lives? Have you ever lost a loved one and looked around and thought that? God, I'm trying my best to serve you. My dad was an awesome person. He was at the pinnacle of his life. And look at these people that don't give a hoot about you, and you took my dad. You ever felt that way? It's, God, that wasn't fair. God, did you really mean that? How about this one? Does God think it's fair that you're the one sick and injured and all these less deserving people are doing just fine? Does God really think you should be happy to barely pay your bills all the time when you give so much from the heart and other people that don't give anything live any way they want, have anything they want? And here I am giving to every needy person around, and I'm just throwing it in there, and I'm doing without, and I still can't get my bills paid. Did God really tell you to do that? That's unfair. Does God really think it's fair that you're still the only one struggling and trying and caring, and you get nothing in return for your hard work? No recognition, no help, no nothing. It's just always you. And lastly, does God think it's fair that you don't get this one major desire of your heart when you give so much for Him and others? Have you ever had that one thing that you just prayed and hoped and begged and pleaded, and it was just your whole life hinged on it? And even though you loved and served and did all you could and prayed for it, and you didn't get it, you still haven't gotten it, and your question is, God, would you really do that? God, you're not being fair. Guess who's putting that thought in your head? Satan. It's the same lie he gave Eve. Did God really expect that of you? Well, that's not fair. To this day, everyone in this room has heard that same lie whispered in your ear, and you have fallen for it. Now let's see what he does after he plants that seed, because some of you already know, and I know, that that seed has been planted in your heart. Listen to how Satan digs and pushes it from there. Genesis 3:2, "And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat of it, nor touch it, lest you die.' Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" Oh, here's where he puts the icing on the cake. Here's where he's so subtle. And I'm asking you not just to apply this to a wonderful story in the garden. I'm asking you to apply this to what Satan has said to you in your heart before. This is what Satan takes to the next critical level, oh, so subtly. This is what he says. "Well, Eve, that's just simply not true or fair. It's just not true that God would ask that of you." And then here's the real good kicker. He's holding out on you. He's holding out on what you should have. And go back and look what he said. "You're not going to die. As a matter of fact, if you do this, you'll be like God." That's his problem. So what is it? One, it's just not true. He's telling you a fib. You're not going to die. That's ridiculous. Don't trust his character. And then two, he has ulterior motives. You deserve more than this. He's holding you down. And then he gives you that last little bit of encouragement there. And he promises, "Hey, nothing's going to change. You're not going to die. There's not going to be any repercussions here." Oh, so gentle, but so mind-changing. So we buy into this lie because, listen to me, because our feelings of justified selfishness make us think it's okay to go ahead and give our heart to those sins. I deserve this. God's holding me back. It's ridiculous to keep me from this. Nothing's going to change. God's not even going to notice. I can slip this under the radar and all will be the same tomorrow and the next day. Everybody does it every day. It's not going to affect me. Are you not thinking the exact same thing Eve did when she heard the snake? Oh, it's okay. God should let me. This should be mine. I should be able to do this. He's not going to get me, because if you really thought he was going to get you, you wouldn't do it. It's okay to harbor that anger and that self-pity and that unforgiveness. And it's okay to ignore God, and it's okay to resist God when you didn't get from God what you thought you deserved. So you can walk around in your holy indignation, mad at God, and think nothing's going to happen. I'm not going to die. Nothing's going to change. We think just like Adam and Eve. But let me tell you something. Listen to me, please. When you decide that you deserve more and God's plan was ridiculous and you're going to go on and all will be okay, I'm not going to die and I'm not going to be punished. Just like Adam and Eve, that's what you think. But just like Adam and Eve, you die. You die just a little bit. Because if you're a Christian and if you're walking with God and you decide at any point in time God was being unfair and you have a better plan and you choose it, then you've just lost your reason for living and you've just lost your joy in Christ. And you've just lost your bearing on what's important and what's in the center of your life. And it will not be long before it's going to get worse. And you're going to have anxiety and you're going to have depression and you're going to lose your direction and you're going to lose your bearing. And your relationships are going to start to fall apart. Because you've chosen to go away from God because you felt justified. And it feels good when you break away because you feel justified. How could God do that? But then it leads you down a path that really hurts. Just like Adam and Eve. How many areas, what area of your life have you decided that God's plan just isn't for me? That it was unfair? That God shouldn't have said that? And you're going to choose your own way. Is it how you do in relationships? Living with people, sleeping with people before you're supposed to, saying, well, God wouldn't expect me not to do this. This is the new age. It's okay. No, God knows what he's talking about. And there's a reason. And there's a depth behind not listening to him. Is it losing someone and you're angry at him? Is it your lust and your pornography and your flirting? Is it your health, your money? Is it tough times? Is it unanswered prayers? Where is it that you held God accountable and you've decided to put him on trial and say, that wasn't fair to me. And I'm going to do my thing. Just like Adam and Eve. If Eve had not doubted the character of God when she was told, he lied to you. Here's why I said it, because there's something better over here. If you didn't really believe that yourself, why would you ever choose to walk away from God's plan and do something you know he told you not to? Every time you've ever known what to do and you've decided to walk away, it means that you felt like your plan was better and God was being unfair, and the path you could choose for yourself, the path you could choose in controlling your own life would be a better path than what God chose. And if you didn't really believe that, you wouldn't have walked away from his plan. If you didn't really believe he was being unfair and unjust, you wouldn't have got mad at him when it happened. You would have trusted him that he knew what he was doing. But some of you have been mad at him for weeks or months or years. And you wouldn't be mad if you trusted him, but you think he was being unfair and you think you can do better, so you walk away. And Satan has perfected this method so much that, just like I read in the Advent, he actually thought he could pull this one over on Jesus because it worked so good. Matthew 4:8. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain, Satan taking Jesus, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, and said to him, all these things I will give to you if you will just fall down and worship me. Here's what he's saying. So, Jesus, you think you have to suffer the way the Father would have you suffer to gain all this that's rightfully yours? Doesn't that sound just like Adam and Eve's speech? That's simply not true, Jesus. It's mine to give. You don't have to go through all that. You deserve better. Let me give it to you. Even Jesus was faced with this lie. Exact same lie. And of all places and all times, if there was a lot of truth mixed in with a little bit of lie, it would have been here, because Jesus was worthy and Jesus was awesome and those kingdoms were supposed to be his. There's two really big reasons, as far as I can see, as to why Satan uses this tactic on believers, and it works again and again, and why he wants to use it. Listen to me. This is going to be really important. This is why Satan wants to use this tactic on you. Okay? Number one, it's this. It is the only way to get a true believer to fall. Period. You will not desert God when you know he's giving you his best and everything he's put in your life has been orchestrated for the better good of all of us. If you know that, you're not going to back off on serving Christ. Satan knows that if he can tarnish God's character and his love and his motives, if he can make you question God and even turn on him a little bit and feel justified on how God let you down and how God betrayed you, then he can get you to chase after your own way. But if you feel like you're being looked out for and you feel like God really does have the best way, and man, I'd never leave you, you ain't going to do nothing but take care of me, Satan's not going to get you as a believer. But the minute he makes you question God's character and motive, he's got you. And every time you've ever walked away from God's plan purposefully, you've questioned God's motives. You've questioned his character. And if you don't think you feel that way, then why on earth did you choose to stray from him? Two, and here's what I want you to really think about. Satan is absolutely powerless to stop an omnipotent God that created him. There's nothing Satan can do to my daddy. Nothing. But our God has one big weakness that Satan knows all about. And man, if God has to have a weakness, what an awesome one to have. My God is totally nuts about me. And he's totally nuts about you. As surely as you could pick the biggest, baddest dad in here that nobody could touch, no weakness, you won't back me down, I will best you at everything. But if he's a good father, you go to his child and hurt him, you've hurt dad, haven't you? That's my God. How awesome is it that you hold that kind of place in his heart? The problem is Satan knows this. So Satan has one surefire way to tear God's heart out. He can't best him in combat. So he gets, now this, people, is where we are accessories to the crime, and I want you to get what we do to God every time this happens. If you listen, say amen. Oh, so much better. All right. Satan wants to get the very ones that God calls beloveds. Almost like a lover. He loves us so intimately. He wants to get us to question whether God really loves us at all. If you're married and you have someone that you totally adore, the most painful thing that you could ever hear them say is that they doubt whether you even care about them. They'll tear your heart out. Satan's goal is to turn us around and make it so that we question whether God even loves us, and you do it every time you walk away from God and you say his plan is stupid and unfair and you're going to find your own way. You say, God, I don't think you even love me. And Satan wins. And he wants to take God's own bride and make that bride question the ability and the desire of God to look out for her. And some of us, this is what I want you to get, and people, this is just truth. This is not a guilt trip. This is just truth. Listen to me. Satan wants to take some of us and make us unknowingly hurt God on a regular basis using the same trick he used on Eve 4,000 years ago. Some of us in here are a literal key to breaking God's heart. Yes, God, is that acceptable to what happens to you and me? As soon as you begin to realize that as big and awesome and smart as Jesus Christ is, that he is literally, intimately in love with every one of you, and what you do hurts him or brings him joy. And when Satan can make you turn on him and be that whiny, delicate, needy, me-first, perpetually offended person that always holds God in contempt, it breaks his heart. And it's on purpose. It's not a mistake. It's what Satan has orchestrated since day one. His job is to hurt God as much as he can by using you because you're the only weapon that he can use to hurt God. It's just like if you can't touch me, then you go to my wife and make her doubt me in every way you can. And she comes to me doubting, angry, thinking I don't care about her, thinking I can't take care of her. What would that do to me? You can get a little taste of how it makes God feel when we buy into this. I'm going to tell you, we are, some of us in this room, the spiritual equivalent of a pinball. Don't know how else to say it. In that, I have watched it, people, so I'm not preaching to a wall. We go from loving and trusting God in a beautiful, intimate setting to instantly being in anger and contempt with God every time something doesn't go our way. Every time. Oh, I love God. God's so awesome. And then privately, you'll come over here the next day because one thing doesn't go right in your happy little world. You're offended. And you put God on trial. And you don't even know if he exists. And how could he let this happen? And you're being so unfair. And I didn't deserve this. And then everything comes back and your life is all good. And oh, I love Jesus. And we are pinballs. And if you find yourself doing it, just be honest with yourself. If you find yourself doing it, I want you to ask yourself a very serious question. Listen. If you can go from loving God and worshiping and praising him to every other day being mad and holding him in contempt, what I want you to ask yourself is, have you really, really made God the center of your life? Is he your reason for life? Or has he just been a ticket for you to get what you want? Because if you trust him and you love him and he's a reason for your life, you're not going to play that game. Do you really have faith and trust? If you can be led, listen, I've been with my wife for 29 years and she is awesome. And I know her well and I trust her. And if every single day I could come back and wonder, have you cheated on me? Do you really love me? Are you really that big of a jerk? If I can come back every other day because every time she cooks a meal I don't like or every time she says something I don't like, I'm ready to leave her. I doubt her. I don't even know why she's with me. She's a jerk. Who are you? Do I really love my wife? Do we really have an intimacy? No, that's nuts. But you say you've got an intimacy with Christ, and that is exactly what the majority of Christians today do. I love you, I love you, I love you. How could you do that? How could you be so unfair? Back and forth, back and forth. You will not be that way with Jesus Christ if you have learned who he is intimately and you really do trust him. You won't do it. And if you are doing it, then it obviously means you are not as close to Christ as you think you are. This is what I'm almost done, believe it or not, but this is such an important point that I want to bring to you. We've talked for weeks about how to handle tough times, right? Well, this is the pinnacle. This is the cap on it. If you're going to get mad every time something happens, and you're going to hold somebody in contempt, and you're going to lash out, and you're going to accuse, and you're going to say, I've been treated unfairly. Well, I'm not going to tell you don't do that, because sometimes that's right. But I'm going to ask you, what is your problem? Why don't you get mad at the right person? Why can't you shake your fist at Satan? Why can't you get... You know what? Listen to me. You can get so mad because you think God... Have you ever done this? Have you ever gotten so mad because you thought God treated you unjustly that you kind of like went and sinned on a credit account because you're like, you know what? You owe me. You did me wrong. I'm kind of out with you right now. I'm going to go enjoy it while I'm out with you. Have you ever done that? I'm so mad at you, God. I'm going to just turn on you for a little while and do my thing. Why can't you get so mad at Satan for what he's brought into your world that you turn on him and what he's all about? Why can't, when something so bad happens in your life, you get mad at the right person whose whole goal is to make you miserable, destroy you, kick you in the teeth, use you to hurt God? Why can't you get so mad at him for being the origin that you decide you want nothing to do with his ways? The one that did it to you, you embrace his way so he can do it more, and you get mad at the one who died to take away what he did. Do you understand the total ignorance of that? We get mad at God, the one who died to take away all the pain Satan's bringing to us. So we turn on God and his ways and sin a little more. Man, understand where it's coming from. Understand the one that put us in this mess. Understand the one that's breaking you and your wife up. Understand the one that's making your child do drugs. Understand the one that's making you proud and ignorant and lustful. Understand the one that's trying to ruin you and having a ball doing it, and resist them and everything they stand for. Get mad at the one you should be mad at. And stop holding Jesus Christ accountable when he is the only person in the universe that has cared anything about the fact that you got kicked. Satan's done a pretty good job if he can make you turn on the one person that's trying to take it away from you. Satan can't do it alone. Everything Satan wants to do has to be because we believed him. Satan cannot hurt God unless you choose to join him in accusing God. Satan cannot hurt God without you. Did you hear that? You are the tool, the only tool that Satan can use to hurt Jesus Christ. Every time you believe Satan and you condemn God, you have been that sword. How many times have you been sharpened by Satan? All I'm asking you is a very short point today. But so, buddy, if you'll get this, are you going to tell me this won't change the way you look at life, the way you look at Christ, the way you live? Are you going to tell me this one point can't change everything about how you feel inside with your emotions? Why don't we commit ourselves this day as a gift to God on Christmas to fighting the right enemy? And take back some of what Satan's stolen from us. Some of the joy. Some of the peace. Some of the self-acceptance. It's all been stolen from us because we've begun to believe that we're not that important to God. We doubt our beloved. Get mad at the right one and take all that back. When Satan used this lie on Jesus, it says it a little differently, but almost exactly the same paraphrase in every version. But the New King James says that Jesus said four simple words. When Satan came and said, "Did God really tell you you got to suffer that much to get a kingdom that belongs to you anyway?" Not true. That's not fair. Let me help you. Jesus just simply said, "Away with you, Satan." Not really. Tell me more. You know, I have been pretty good, last four millennia especially. No, he didn't even begin to entertain the thought. It was, away with you, Satan. Here's what I want us to do, starting with me. Why don't we resist Satan? Listen, I better get an amen out of this. Why don't we resist Satan by standing up for our king when he's falsely accused? When he comes to you and tells you how Jesus has done you wrong and how unfair Jesus is and how you deserve better, it's your chance to either become a sword that's going to stab Jesus right in the side all over again, or it's your chance to stand up and recognize. It's your chance to kick Satan in the teeth and say, "Oh no, not my Savior. He's the only one that's cared enough to take away the pain you're putting on me. He's the only one that came to suffer for more than anything you'll ever put on me so that I can go to be with him one day." Away with you, Satan. You're not talking that way about my God. Why can't we do that instead of holding God accountable? Why can't we be proud of Daddy? Why can't we be proud of our beloved big brother, Jesus Christ, who died for us? Why don't we kick Satan in the teeth by taking the one weapon he has, and his only weapon is accusation and lies? Why don't we listen? Stop giving Satan the satisfaction of hurting God, our Savior, at our expense with our direct help. Direct help. And for lack of a better phrase, why don't we put the beat down on him and close the door tight? Why don't we climb up on the top rope of the ring and come down on him once in a while? 1 Peter 5 and 8. Be sober. Be vigilant. Stop. What is vigilant? To be on the lookout at all times for any problem that's about to arise. Be vigilant because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in all the world. You're not alone, people. God says he's coming. Satan's looking for those who can devour. Why does he have to go looking? Well, I'll tell you why. Because the ones that are vigilant, the ones that don't buy his lies, he can't get them. He's got to look for the opening. You've got to be that exception that's not vigilant before he can find someone to devour. Unfortunately, we are the most target-rich environment. We are a jungle full of antelope just waiting to be jumped. The word resist in that scripture in Greek is a combination of two English words when we have to translate it. It's stand against. That's the two words that resist means in English. Stand against Satan in your faith. People, I'm not trying to rally you emotionally. I'm trying to give you some solid, firm foundation that you can emotionally rally behind if you want, but it better be in truth. And that's this. Start taking your peace and your love and your hope that you've lost back by doing this, by not handing over on a silver platter everything that Satan wants every time he yanks your chain, by saying the words, I deserve better. Because every single sin you have ever committed in doubting your God has come from that one single sentence. I deserve better. I don't deserve this. You were unfair. That can't be true. Open up another silver platter. Give it to him. Why don't we answer back with this? No, I'm not actually getting anything I truly deserve. You're right. Because to get what I deserve, I would have to spend an eternity with you, Mr. Charcoal. That's what I would be getting if I got what I deserved. So no, I'm not getting what I deserve. Praise God. Tell Satan, the best thing you can ever tell Satan when you're standing over that casket and you don't understand, or when you got that report and you don't understand, or you're in a relationship that's falling apart and you don't understand, or you're giving all you got and you got nothing left and it's still not enough and you don't understand, the best thing you can do is tell Satan, I absolutely don't understand, but I trust my Jesus so much because he loves me so much and you're so hateful. I will follow my Jesus to the gates of your hell and I will still trust him no matter what he's put on me. So get out of my face. That's what you should be saying when you're down and out. Not, God, are you even real? Do you love me? Well, anything and everything you could ever suffer times 100, times 1,000, times 1,000,000 if you want to go into the spiritual of how neglected and forsaken he was, and you never will be if you've trusted him. He has gone that much further than anything you'll ever experience. Why would we put him in a court case? Tell Satan you don't care if you don't understand. This is what I want you to do. I want you to get to the point that, you know what? My Jesus came and he first served us as God when we were nothing but rebels. So this is the deal. You didn't come to Jesus today so he would serve you. So if you feel like you're being treated a little unfairly, I'm telling it to me too, but this has got to be about as point blank as I can be. Shut up. Because the fact is, Jesus is not here to serve us. He already served us. He already became a worm. He already got humiliated and beat down and tortured. He is here, even though he loves us as a beloved, he is here and his name now is Adonai, which means master, which means you're his servant. Which means if he asked me to do anything, even if it seems unfair, after all he has done for me, amen and amen, bring it to me. Let me do it. If it's unfair, it's a bigger gift to God. Why don't you see every unfair thing that you hand to him and put at his feet as another gift to God, to your king, to your master, to your savior? Why don't you see every unfair act that Satan accuses him of and say, Satan, he's already done his. This is my chance to lay that act down before him, even though it looks unfair, because I trust him. And bring the glory to God if it's something that seems unfair, that hurts me unnecessarily, because I trust my God and this is my gift to him. Why don't you look at everything that happens in your life as a gift to him to be given back, not a chance to hold him in court? Satan will leave. If you can't get to a point that you trust him in his plan, if you can't get to a point that you stop bouncing like a pinball, if every time, I know we all have moments that we've doubted and we've gotten angry at God. We've covered that for weeks. That's okay. We're going to have moments. But if your life is back and forth on putting God on trial every time you ever have an event in your life you don't agree with, then I'm telling you, you need to understand you're not trusting God. You're not. And what I ask you to do is either get your heart right and tell God, this is it. I'm going to trust you explicitly and I'm going to live for you right now from this point on. Or I ask you, listen to me, to go ahead and serve the other God that you're serving already, Satan. Because all you're doing is helping him hurt God every time you put God on trial. I'm asking you to glorify God and our King by getting angry at the accuser, by serving steadfastly, by holding on to Christ in temptations, and never again being the weapon that Satan will use to hurt your beloved. Get angry at the right person. And do something about it. And decide that you will never, ever again put Jesus Christ on trial, because he is the only one in the universe that's done anything to take Satan's power away. Let that be your first gift to Christ this Christmas. It's not something that's just going to happen. You have got to take what I just told you. You got to bury it deep in your heart. And you got to make a conscious decision to take every thought captive, that you will no longer accuse your God and King, the one that loves you, for everything that comes in your life. And let's fight the good fight. Start now. Not when you leave. Not tomorrow. Not when your next heartache comes. Start now. Let's stand for prayer.